adjournment.
Hello?
I move we adjourn to adjournment.
A second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
And now we need to vote to reschedule the January council meeting to Tuesday the 21st, Tuesday the 21st to Monday the 27th.
Yeah, I make the motion we do that. I appreciate the council's understanding. Work gave me a request to meet with my new boss in Hickory that week of the scheduled council meeting, so I think I probably need to do that. I make a motion we reschedule the meeting to Monday the 27th at the normal time.
I second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move to the next council's meeting. And department head presentations and discussion.
Yeah. Of course.
Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
We're a manager.
Thank you. Was one of you grab that door back there? I should have thought to do that. Maybe. I didn't realize they were doing construction.
Yeah, they did not say a word.
They didn't say
when we were booking this place.
Do you see the arrow key?
The arrow key, not the down button. Okay, well, thank you for those party folks who brave the cold. It's very cramped in here. I do apologize for that, but Huntsville kelp keeps us warm. Location of the restrooms out this door to the right. Take your first right. The restrooms are on the left. Breakfast, snack, and lunch will be provided in this conference room. Breaks we'll try to have at 9:15, 11:15, and 3 p.m., and lunch will be from 1 to 1:30. Department head presentations will be from 8 to 10:45. Committee presentations 10:45 to noon, financial review noon to 1, council discussion items 1:30 to 3:30, and council goals 3:30 to 5. Proceedings. The purpose of today's retreat is to take stock of how the town is doing, what we're doing right, and what needs improvement, where we want to be in the future, and what steps we need to get us there. Please remember that each of us here, because we care about Curie Beach, as either our home or our employment, and though we may have different opinions, we are all here for the purpose of making sure Curie Beach is the best town it can be. Let that be our focus for the day and ignoring the construction. I'd like to welcome newly elected Commissioner Craig Kaczynski to his first official retreat as a commissioner and take this opportunity to do a quick review of Council's rules of procedure that were adopted in 2008. This retreat is a legally called session of Council, and Council may vote or reach a consensus. Only one motion may be on the floor at a time. Each motion requires a second, and all council members are required to vote by state law unless recused by council vote. If there's discussion after a motion, it's very easy to lose track of the motion on the floor, so it's always a good idea to repeat the motion or ask the clerk to read the motion on the floor before voting. It's also important for council members to be given the chance to vote either for or against the motion. With a collective verbal vote, the clerk cannot distinguish who has or hasn't voted. So it's important for the record that a vote for or against the motion is taken and the decision stated, such as 3-2 in favor of or 4-1 against. We just appreciate your help with that and trying to get the minutes. Council's rules of role is per the rules of procedure are to maintain or enhance the financial integrity of the town and level of service to the citizens, respect the commitment of the taxpayers and the efforts of town employees, set policies and hold department heads accountable, focus on outcome while providing broad guidance so that staff may utilize their expertise, use open and regular communication to ensure no one is surprised or blindsided, and review regular progress on collective goals, leadership, and priorities, hence the reason for the retreat today. The department head role, per the rules of procedure, is to provide council with accurate and relevant information on matters of policy, including pros and cons, alternatives, and professional recommendations, so council can make an informed decision. Ensure council is informed about issues that may attract media or public attention or have impact on policy. Consult council on major issues requiring a system change and operate within and ensure compliance with established ordinances and policies of the town and state and federal regulations. on this last one, I ask council to keep in mind when hearing a complaint from a resident or the public that all department heads use policy and ordinances set by town council and state and federal law when setting procedures and processes for staff to follow. What may seem like a reasonable request from one citizen may cause headaches for their neighbors. Council and department heads have to look at overall health, safety, and quality of life for all citizens, along with financial impact and liability to the town. The town council is continuing authority, and that a policy set by council in 1992 remains in effect until another council changes it. If a council member feels a citizen is being treated unfairly, department heads would appreciate being given a chance to explain why a situation was handled a certain way. If a council member thinks the policy is not a good one, the procedure is to bring it to council's attention at a meeting and ask that it be changed, not to direct the department head to ignore or violate the policy. Per the Code of Ordinances and Personnel Policy, town council as a whole has hiring, firing, and disciplinary authority over department heads. Town council delegated hiring, firing, and disciplinary authority for employees to the department heads, and town council determines the number of employees to be hired by each department. The town has 66 volunteers serving on 10 boards and committees, 26 volunteer fire personnel, 40 full-time employees working in 5 departments, admin, finance, and recreation has 6, building inspections, code enforcement has 1, fire, ocean, rescue has 6, police have 12, and public works have 15. Each department utilizes part-time personnel as needed to provide the level of service prescribed by town council, and we currently have 7 part-time employees on payroll. This is the town's organization chart. This one was adopted in 2010, so there's some extra detail about the town clerk and finance officer's role. That was the year that Arlen and I were both hired in. But as you can see, the citizens are at the top of the org chart. Everything we do, every dime we spend, every service we provide is for the benefit of the citizens. And then the town council has a liaison for each department. This year, David Hegler is Public Works, Emily Swearingen is over Police, Dean Lambeth is over Admin, Finance, and Recreation, Steve Pagley is over Fire, and Craig Lisinski is over Inspections. Now on to my department. I'm also head of Administration, Finance, and Recreation. In 2013, we took over responsibility for community center facility rentals, special events coordination and invoicing, Oceanfront Park Pavilion rentals, development and management of educational programs at the Oceanfront Park, and administration of recreational entertainment programs for the Oceanfront Park, Joey's Park, and the Community Center in conjunction with the Community Center Committee and the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. We added 1 full-time position, event marketing coordinator, to focus on facility rental revenue, promotion of town events, and coordination of special events in the town and at the Oceanfront Park. We now advertise our events to 80 different media publications. We created and distributed rental facility brochures to the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce that goes out in all their mailings to visitors. Excuse me. There were 2 rentals at the pavilion in 2013, and we have 4 weddings booked in 2014. There were 17 rentals at the community center in 2013. 13 of them were booked by staff, and right now we have 1 on the books for 2014.
Nancy, mm-hmm. The 4 weddings booked for 2014, are they off-season weddings?
Yes.
Are they? Okay.
And we're getting a lot of requests for the day of the street festival, ironically enough, in April. One day. We added 1 part-time position, a recreation coordinator, to administratively coordinate classes and recreational programs for the town in conjunction with the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. New events that we held in 2013 was a Saturday morning open recreation program at Joe Weeks Park, where the town provided equipment, basketballs, footballs, from 10 to 1 in the morning. And we had a public flu and vaccination clinic at Town Hall. New classes we have in the works for 2014. We have a public first aid and CPR class in January at the community center. We're working on guitar summer camp, ballroom dance classes, weekly beach safety talks with Ocean Rescue, public showing of the movie Bagot by the Stormwater Committee, and volleyball tournament on the beach near the park. Recreation staff will focus on more community events and classes at the community center with the committee's input and approval. And the recreation staff attended a statewide North Carolina Parks and Recreation Association conference, and they're working with New Hanover County, Riceville Beach, Carolina Beach, Wilmington, and UNCW PNR staff in organizing the conference to be held in Wilmington this year. Excuse me.
Yeah, Nancy, sorry. Can you go back to the previous page?
This one?
There's some great ideas up there. Do you have any timing thoughts on those right now? Or are they just the ideas that...
Nikki's working with the individuals to true up the dates for when they want to do the classes. I don't know, Ed.
Are we going to have any of the council, any of the committee folks involved in any of this, or...
If they would like to be. These are just things that people have come to us with and ideas that we have come up with, and we've asked Parks and Rec several times for ideas. I think once they get reorganized and have their first meeting this month...
Everybody locked down.
Need ideas, so...
Morning. The admin and finance staff continue to maintain an excellent level of service to citizens, council, committees, departments, and the public. Phone calls are usually answered on the first ring. Walk-ins are waited on immediately. Our financial postings, reports are accurate and timely, and the audit is submitted to the local government authority on time as required by statute. Agendas and minutes are current. Utility billings are accurate and timely, and pass-through accounts are followed up on. And as Steve said, we process our water bill payments really quickly. Our recycling service runs well, and any issues are addressed in a timely manner. And requests from council, committees, departments, and the public are filled in a timely manner. Town Hall was involved this last year with revenue generation.
Nancy,
mm-hmm.
May I ask you on the one before on the water bill? If there was something, and I think maybe one time we did this, something that we could type down at the bottom mm-hmm. of the water bill, when do you need to know about that?
She runs the bills the last week of the month.
Right.
So probably by the 23rd, 24th, right. I would think. And it's very small. What do we get? Three lines?
Yeah, it's not
even
three. I forget the
yeah,
number of characters.
Yeah, not many spaces.
It's very short.
Okay, because stormwater and environment is planning an activity, but I think it's in April, so probably the end of February. So.
Yeah, we might put kind of short teaser on there. It's just about enough room to say town hall closed on such and such a date.
Okay.
Revenue generation, we started the Bluefish, commemorative Bluefish campaign for Oceanfront Park for revenue for programs and debt retirement. We started that in August of 2013. We've had 134 orders for Bluefish on the boardwalk. 8 swings and 13 benches have been sponsored, and all of those are gone. There's none left. The goal is to fill all 1,200 planks on the boardwalk from K to L. Got a few left to go. Gross revenue since we started in August 2013. I'm sorry, that should be 2012, excuse me, right? That was
right.
Before the park started, yeah. It's been about 16 months. It was $65,660. We've spent $50,820 on purchase of tables, chairs, and ash urns for the facility in the park, the grand opening, the summer programs, and the cost of the installation of the Bluefish. And we have a net of $10,572. The $10,000 that we spent for the Oceanfront Park programs will be reimbursed from TDA, and we see that as an ongoing, that along with the Duke Energy donation. So none of the first summer programs that we had at the Oceanfront Park were funded by general fund. It was funded by the donation from Duke Energy and the Bluefish revenue. We also have a specialty license plate that we sell, and on the disc golf course, we have signage and we have sponsorships of those signs as a way to bring in revenue. Our main focus for all admin, finance, and recreation has been the Oceanfront Park, particularly for Arlen and myself. Just keeping up with the billing and the grants and closing out the grants and making sure everybody's paid on time, and then right into the summer with the program. Our 2013 programs, we had a Monday night weekly sea turtle talk, drew about 40 to 60 children and adults each time. We had a Tuesday morning weekly open market, drew 200 visitors each time throughout the day. Thursday morning weekly story time by the sea with the princess, drew 40 to 60 children and adults. We had some Friday and Saturday night evening entertainment to include DJ, magic show, and bands. That drew 50 to 200 people depending on the event, and that was kind of a test to see what kind of events went over well and at what time of day and evening and day of the week. Weekly Sunday afternoon Boogie in the Park concert series, which was the brainchild of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, was very successful. That drew 200 folks for each concert. And we held a two-day November holiday market the Saturday before and after Thanksgiving, which we had a real good turnout for that drew 200 people each time throughout the day. The cost of this, the turtle talks didn't cost anything. It's a collaborative effort with the Pleasure Island Sea Turtle Group. Storytime by the Sea cost us $2,675. Open market didn't cost us anything. We actually netted some revenue. We took a 20% of the vendor revenue for that. That was $1,714. The Friday-Saturday entertainment was $6,370. And the Boogie in the Park was $11,150. And I think that was a total of 17 concerts throughout the summer. So the total cost spent was $20,195.
Did we ask for all of that back in TDA money?
Yes.
Ah, great.
And I see that as a sustainable funding source unless TDA dries up or council has another means or use for that money. 2014, we plan to run the same programs again. We felt each of these programs had a real good response for the particular target. And unfortunately, we had to cancel Storytime by the Sea with the Princess for rain, and boy, we had a lot of phone calls, upset parents about that, little girls crying and things. So we think it was pretty well received.
How many times did you get canceled?
Twice, I think. Twice. And the first time, Nikki was pretty bloody when she came back. She was, and they were, you know. Nikki's working now with the New Hanover County Public Library for a collaborative children's music fest event to be held on a Saturday in June. We'll do the November holiday market again, and staff will concentrate on more on the collaborative educational programs with other agencies with little or no cost to the town. They give us the program and we give them the facility. PNR Advisory Board has indicated interest in scheduling and booking all of the entertainment. And I think they'll be talking to you about that later today under the committee section.
So, who are they talking about? Do you know, or we should wait until they talk?
Were they talking about scheduling?
Yeah.
Yeah, wait until Jane Van Ham will be here, and she can give you some more idea. I have one.
Mm-hmm. On Joe Eek's part, do you have the details on Joe Eek's part that you have on the oceanfront, like all the ball games, the disc tournaments, people renting any of the picnic facilities?
We haven't done any rentals for Joe Eek's Park. It's always been on a first-come, first-served. We do get asked quite a bit to reserve it for birthday parties, so that's something that's kind of filtering around in the backs of our heads, whether it would be worthwhile to do that. We asked the Little League to give us a schedule. I don't think we ever got it, but I think we did get a link to their website. And we don't always know. We need better communication, I guess, with this golf when we have the tournaments. And we'll work on that to make sure that we've got all that posted.
Because I've had several people that I've met places that have said the ball fields that they're using are some of the best in the county. People who even came over from Masonboro said that we have one of the best fields and best facilities anywhere, and they really, really appreciate us letting them use it.
It was really nice to see them used. It was used quite a bit, and for evening kickball, adult kickball, and the Little League program too. The park seems to be getting a lot of use. The disc golf course gets a lot of use.
Oh, yeah.
There's usually somebody over there all the time on the playground, much more so than when I first moved here.
Next year, could we get a detailed report on Joe Eek's,
sure,
like we have on the oceanfront?
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to ask for one capital purchase for fiscal year 14-15. That's for $10,000 to purchase the People Mover. People Movers. Yes. Fancy golf cart is really what it is. Parking near Oceanfront Park is very difficult, as you know. We have a very, very small storage facility down there. Staff ends up making trips, several trips back and forth, also to Joe Eek's Park. So there's a lot of use of personal cars. It would be nice to have something that's smaller that we can maybe actually park on site while we unload. If there's enough revenue left before the end of this fiscal year in the Bluefish, I may come back to council and ask to use that to purchase it outright rather than put it in with capital purchase for next year.
Where will you store the thing, Nancy?
Good question. Probably in the parking lot, town hall, and on the weekends, maybe under the front cover of town hall by John's office. Or the council room.
Driving the council room, okay.
And when we get to the discussion session of today's agenda, I would like council to give us some direction on whether there should be a street festival again this year. I've tried contacting members of the street festival. I'm not getting a real good response. One of the main people that I talked to said that she would help but wouldn't run it. So we kind of need to know, again, as I said, we're getting requests for dates to rent the pavilion for that day. And the other thing is what you want to do about the chamber funding. Are you going to look to continue that, or are you going to look to give that to the Oceanfront Park for the concerts series? That's mainly so Parks and Rec can plan, the advisory board, we can plan, and the chamber can plan. I would recommend that any town events that we have, such as the street festival, that we try to confine it to Atlantic Avenue and the park site, if at all possible, and not close down K. It's less disruptive to the businesses. I think there's enough area. It won't be as large of a festival, but there's plenty of room down Atlantic Avenue to put the bouncy house and a couple of food vendors, and then vendors up Atlantic and in the park. That's just my suggestion. A lot less work on the staff, and the businesses don't get as impacted. Future planning thoughts?
Nancy, is that a staff recommendation or just yours? I mean, have you talked with Parks and Rec and stuff too?
I've not talked with Parks and Rec.
Not done, but the event coordinators, that your staff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just want to understand where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Nancy, if I could ask you another question about that. How many people do we get on the Oceanfront Park on the open air market? We get quite a few in there. We get like, what, 30?
30.
And then along the street, I don't recall how many we got around there, but it was pretty many. So you could probably do 60.
We got quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. You could probably do 60 in that area, right?
Right. With the bouncy house way down at the end at L.
Yeah.
And then maybe one or two food vendors on the other side.
Well, with the girl from Carolina Beach not being able to facilitate helping with the open air market, have y'all made arrangements?
Yes, I'm sorry, I must have skipped that. We're going to, Janet Knott, who was the main organizer, is having to step down from the open market. So Nikki's going to be taking on some of that, more of the organization with the vendors. That will give us a larger revenue stream. It will take up more of her time with more of the organization for that. So yeah, we've been working with both Janet and Gail on that. Okay. Just future planning thoughts, since this is a future planning session. Facilities for staff, I can tell you my town hall office and storage space is at a maximum. I have staff sharing an office. There's no space for commissioners to have office space, and there's only non-climate controlled storage space in the attic, which is not conducive for storing records and documents. I know police and fire are looking at expanding. I'm just wondering if that's enough, if it's a Band-Aid, how long that's going to last them. Public Works is in an unsustainable long-term position with the location of the garbage trucks. In 2006, council drew plans to build a new council room in the area of the employee parking lot. Looks like I left off something there. Read this too many times. That would open up space in the current council room for additional offices. Council also drew plans for a new fire station in the corral area, which would leave the fire building available for use. I believe council needs to seriously revisit future facility capacity, and I think facility space should be considered as important as infrastructure. As more people retire here year-round and the remaining lots are built on, there will be more demand on services, which means additional staffing and equipment. For the Census Bureau, the biggest population gains from 2012 to 2013 came in the West and the South, and we came in fourth behind Texas, California, and Florida with 100,000 increase in our population last year. We are ranked number 10. North Carolina is number 10 in the United States for population growth in the next 20 years. Population for the North Carolina State Data Center, population growth for those 65 and over in North Carolina counties through 2031 shows our area getting a 50% to 99% increase in population. I think that's very significant. I think it's also significant if you see the black areas up there, this Wake County, the Research Triangle area, which is an easy day trip, weekend trip from where we are. Trinity Beach already has an older population, and with the baby boomer generation beginning to retire, we can expect an even larger older population, putting more demands on services such as fire and police. Additionally, the Oceanfront Park is attracting a day tripper population, which will add to the need for services such as garbage, police, fire, recreation, with no tax revenue to support them. Again, here's David, your favorite subject. Ask council again to consider purchasing the property or house next door to the Oceanfront Park. It's an excellent location for future ocean rescue, first aid, police substation, visitor center, possible concession stand for revenue generation, and a recreation presence in the busiest tourist area of the town. It would provide parking for staff, storage of ocean rescue equipment, and storage for public restroom cleaning supplies. We have a tiny storage room at the pavilion, and it does have an upstairs, but Sunny's guys are using it for bathroom supplies for the public restroom, and we're trying to use it for the event supplies. So we have to take things out before we can get something else out and then put things back. The upstairs concerns me. We're storing a lot of our stuff upstairs, but you're carrying boxes coming downstairs. It's never a good environment. I've already had two employees fall this summer, so that's a big thing on my radar. The house has been on the market for years before the park was built. Current asking price is $500,000. The town has four residential lots on Sandman. Lots are going today from anywhere from $85,000 to $120,000 each. We could look at potentially selling those lots to help pay for the mortgage. And the house could be used as it is until town can build a facility. And there's the lovely house. And the far right corner is the lifeguard storage facility. But as you can see in the back, there's it's a pretty deep lot. There's much concern about funding for sand on the beach and inlet dredging. These are important considerations to our citizens, but it's also important to them to have their garbage taken away, to have clean, healthy water when they turn on the tap, to feel safe walking in the neighborhood and getting out of the car at night, and knowing someone will bring help promptly when there's a medical emergency or fire, and knowing construction of their home and their neighbor's home is sound and not a danger to them. We can't provide these services without employees. I ask council to remember Curie Beach has high caliber employees with good attitudes and work ethics. We run a small, tight ship, and staff performs under a lot of pressure. Please don't lose sight of their value when making your prioritizations as we spend the day planning for the future. Here ended the lecture for the day.
Do you have that in a hand?
Yes, I've got some back there. And I'm going to shut up and turn it over to John Batson if I can figure out.
Nancy, the house that you wanted to buy, is there any facilities available that they can write off part of the cost of it in taxes?
Say that again, Dean. Which one is it?
No, I've got it.
Could we give them so much money and then the rest of it, give them a tax break somehow, if they could realize?
We can't do anything with property taxes. I mean, we don't have the authority that's...
He was telling us if they give us a deal, can they write off their federal and state taxes?
If they donate it to the town, they can write it off.
Yeah. I honestly don't know.
And speaking with those people, I believe they'd be open to any reasonable offer right now. They've attempted to sell it, and they've had it in the contract a number of times over the last 2 years.
Well, with the new rules coming out, it's going to take a hit. Bigger water.
It's going to take a hit on flood insurance.
That's what I'm about to
The bank's not lending the money because of the condition of the structure.
Right.
That's the main problem.
It was built in 1913. And we're well on our way to having an eyesore in our downtown.
I was just wondering if somebody could try to see if there's a tax write-off or Parks and Rec. You know, we could facilitate them for another grant or something like that.
I can see what I can find out.
It'd be worth checking in.
That's crazy.
Watch out for that cord there, John.
Yeah.
wasn't sure really what we were going to be presenting today, so I just did a small overview of what happened this past year in my department. Primarily building activity and inspections, code enforcement, things of that nature. So in 2013, I issued 164 permits. 22 were brand new houses. 86 remodels, pools, things of that nature. 32 were fence, sign, landscape, code enforcement permits. And 24 were camera permits. This does not include about 20 camera permit exemptions, which are letters basically saying that you don't have to have a camera permit, but this is still regulated activity. Breakdown of the fees that we've collected in 2013, $218,000 total.
Is that pretty typical, John? 218 or
18? No, sir. This is a much better year than the past couple.
Good.
I believe last year was around 180 or so like that. 47,000 was permit fees. 60,000 were stormwater fees. 57,000 water and sewer tap fees. 45,000 user fees, and about $9,600 in tent, fence, and plan review fees. Got 260 documented building inspections. That number is not entirely correct. My assistant is still compiling the data and notes from 2013 inspections. I'm expecting them to be over about 300 or so. Those that are documented are mandatory inspections, and they include slab and foundation, pile inspection, floor system sheathing, framing, insulation, and final inspections. That doesn't count the ride-bys that I do every day and the everyday phone calls from the contractors with questions throughout the day.
So those were 300 visits, actually, then. 260 or up to 300?
At a minimum. That's just what I had wrote down that I keep a record of.
In 50 weeks?
Yes. Okay. That's, she hasn't finished putting them all in the system yet.
Okay.
31 fire and life safety inspections. Those are, you see, our hotels and motels, ocean dunes, restaurants, things of that nature. I go ahead and do those fire inspections, checking the emergency escapes, the exit signs, emergency lighting, fire extinguishers. If you go into a restaurant, you'll see these placards on the stoves and the fire suppression systems. I go to make sure that those are maintained correctly. We've only got 59 of those buildings within our town, so. Got 39 documented property violations. They're primarily overgrown lots and trash cans. If you ride down in the south part of the section, down 3rd, 4th, and 5th, that's primarily where our overgrown lots are. Got the same ones every single year. I've got records going back almost 10 years now. As far as trash cans go, most of these complaints stem from weekly rental properties. Most of the management companies I know pretty well, and I can call them up and it fixes the issue for at least that week. Next week it could be an issue all over again, just depends on whether or not their guy goes out there and brings in the trash can and puts it back out on Sunday and Monday. Ever since Sonny started picking up the garbage on Fort Fisher Boulevard on Sunday, this issue has gone down drastically. Still got a lot of overflowing garbage cans, but most of the rental companies are now purchasing two or more garbage cans, and that helps out a lot.
John, do we have a process to help you with repeat offenders, like the fire department does with repeat false alarms? After three, they can get a civil fine?
Well, technically speaking, I can, if I notify them once throughout the year, by certified letter, I can start finding them from that point.
Okay. So we do have a process. That's all
yes, sir, we do. That's just a lot easier for me to get on the phone and say, hey, man,
no,
come
on. I understand, but I just want to make sure you had a stick if you needed.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. Real estate signs, always an issue. I used to ride around and get a truck full of them. I haven't done it several months. I'm sure everybody's seen a stack of real estate signs sitting outside my office. They'd come get them, put them back. A lot of times they put them back in a wrong place again. But the market's not as saturated as it was, and so sign violations aren't as they were. It used to be every third lot there's pretty much a real estate sign on it. Thank the Lord that's not the case anymore. And I've got a pretty strong working relationship and network with the realtors in our town. And so, once again, it's, a lot of those issues can be handled with a phone call. Never go in lots again. I meant to move that slide. I get that call more than anything. The slot next door got rats and ticks. And the kid just came in, he's got ticks all over him. The cat chased down a snake. I'm scared it's going to get bit. And then my favorite is my neighbor's dog just pooed all over the yard and it stinks. You should have heard the one I got the other day for down in Fort Fisher. A woman called, she says, somebody, there's human feces down here on the path at Fort Fisher. I hope we're not just going to let that sit there.
Did Sonny get to clean that up?
I hope not.
The absurdity of your question.
Yeah. I get the complaints about diapers and things like that. Too. Oh, yeah. I'm sure Sonny gets the same thing.
John? No, we clean them up.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Is there a leash law in New Hanover County for cats?
I do not know.
No.
Okay, if they poop in your yard, can you shoot them?
They're in the past. You cannot get caught, but in the past, cats have been taken care of by an independent citizen. Not the dentist would know anything about that.
The 39 documented lots that I noted, those are the ones that received a certified letter. Once again, it's the same one. I only have to notify them once throughout the year. That becomes an issue, too. I had the largest expense that I've ever accumulated by taking care of a lot was about $2,600. After we got the bill on that, town attorney and I took them to court and worked out a payment plan. And I believe they're finished up on that payment now. Is that right?
Yeah, they paid it all in one shot.
Really?
When they sold the property was sold.
I didn't know that. That was our biggest cost we've ever had. Of course, it got recouped. But 39 is what I got as far as documented. A lot of those, once again, created a working relationship with them. And the bigger lots in town that are on Fort Fisher Boulevard, for instance, Alabama Avenue, right beside the gas station at K Avenue, and then also at Curry Beach Village, got a working relationship with those property owners. They allow me to send somebody over to mow those yards. And bill them accordingly, and it works out really well for the most part. So, other code enforcement, currently working on correcting numerous setback violations, including sheds, outside showers, and new propane tank installations, things of that nature. A lot of the things that pop up all the time are these sheds. People buy them at Lowe's and have them delivered, and there they are. The other one is outside showers. Everybody likes an outside shower, so as soon as they have one installed or as soon as they move into a house they just bought, they build a big old enclosure all around it, and it blocks the setback. A couple other ones we got going on all the time are abandoned structures, junk vehicles, and junk accumulation. I actually just condemned a large accessory structure in the backyard of a house at Fifth Avenue the other day. Basically, it's fallen down on itself. And then some other responsibilities include floodplain management, gamma planning and zoning, and beach renourishment. And that's all I had. Do you have any questions?
So we looked at kind of off track, but we looked at the Bigger Waters Act or whatever, and there were no properties in Curry Beach?
There are 16 that are going to be affected right away.
16 right away?
Yes, sir.
What about long term?
Don't know for sure yet. We have 987 floodplain policies in Curie Beach, I believe is the number. Not all of those have to have a floodplain policy.
Exactly right, yes.
There are 16 that are going to be affected right away, and...
They're all oceanfront, I would assume?
Our main floodplain is oceanfront.
Right, that's what I thought.
I've been told several times that the new flood maps are going to be less restrictive for Curie Beach. I believe it when I see it. I've been arguing that fact since 2006. I still don't understand how we can go from virtually no floodplain on the oceanfront to all of oceanfront being in floodplain. I've been told again that the maps are coming out in April. We'll see if that is the case again. I'll be attending a week-long class up in Nags Head in March and should learn all the ins and outs of all of it at that class, hopefully.
Are we still working with the state?
Yes, ma'am. We are still actively pursuing the community grading system. I am planning on and anticipating that being closed out this month. Hopefully. It's been a long process.
2 years.
Big benefit for the town.
It sounds like it will. It'd be a lot of additional...
It'll be a bigger benefit with the new changes in the floodplain.
Right. So that's tremendous.
So the contractors that are left, are they more responsive or less responsive, since I'm sure they thinned out with the downturn and now the upturn? What do you see the new guys compared to 5 years ago working with from the town perspective? Either you and Sonny both on cleanliness of the area.
I think you know as well as everybody else, the guys that work down here, they live down here and they care about this place, and so they obviously want to do the best lot job thing they can do. Yep. I would venture to say 70% of their contracts are in Curie Beach. That's where they do most of the work. So, as far as these new regulations and the new building codes, new floodplain regulations, a lot of the times they're very well versed and they know exactly what's expected and how to go about doing what they need to do.
And what about, we haven't had this in a while, but if we have a storm cleaning the lot up, do you think they're going to be... Are they going to be overtaxed with the boom, or you think they'll be able to clean it in the 4 or 5 day notice that you get to give them before we have a problem?
I think they'll handle it right away. Okay. A lot of my damage assessment team are the contractors in Curie Beach. So. Okay. Good.
You can take that one out if you want.
I think I'd be able to set it right beside that.
I think everybody should know me by now, Craig.
Bill, right?
Yeah. Welcome to council. I'm Ed Kennedy, the assistant fire chief. I'm going to go over the goals that we had for last year and the goals that we have for the future as well, and basically what has been accomplished. We wanted to get the CAD and all of our first out trucks. Basically, the CAD is a computer system in which we can tell what is going on throughout the county. It also has a map with hydrant locations. And what that does is allows volunteers or whoever to get on the truck at any time and be able to navigate a call, basically. We respond to medical calls 24/7 now. We also added three full-time employees to for our services that we provide. And we also hired Jesse Turner, which is going to school for a diesel mechanic right now.
Does that mean he can work on my garbage trucks if need be?
Well, that was his goal, actually.
Oh, okay.
Cool. He'd like to be a fleet worker for the town, so.
Oh, cool.
Keep that in mind.
How much money do you
have? Yeah, right.
Well, all yours are diesel, right, son? All the big trucks? Good.
Do you guys take your trucks outside, Sonny?
Well, unless it's, you know, something major. I mean, right. Something major, yeah, but if not, we do in that.
The fire department remained at an ISO rating of 5, which is the top 17% of all fire departments in the nation. We have a Marine 1100 unit, which is basically a Carolina skiff that performs rescues and also successfully put out a Zeke's Island fire this year. Our computer pre-plan system is 80% complete, and our pre-plan system goes through everything such as building size, exits, is there any hazards in the building, and these are found on computers that we keep on our trucks at all times. So, it also, yes, sir.
Ed, the being in the top 17% with the isolating 5, for us to improve that, does it require a big investment? Do you know, or?
Well,
do you think we're where we can be?
I actually think that right now we could possibly be at a 4, and it's on a scale of things basically, such as water supply, staffing, how well the fire department staffed, how many guys you have, what your apparatus contains.
It's a percentage too, you know, right? It's broken down into two major things, right?
Right, and we used to be a 7 when they added the second water tower. That increased our water supply.
Yeah.
So that immediately brought us down to a class 5.
Okay.
Well, not exactly. Some of the other things the department did as well. So from 5 to 4 is a decent investment, and there's no savings to the citizens. The only people that get a savings from that jump is the businesses.
Okay.
So when the fire department was looking at where they wanted to target the last time it came up, after the Ocean Dunes fire, basically the chief and the advisory board looked at it and said the biggest savings for the money is we should target a 5. And then the water tower enabled that, and then the department did things with our response time to make sure that we could get a 5. So we targeted for a 5.
Okay.
And that got the citizens, that's how he came to the council and asked for a specific amount of money, because that's what got all the citizens the biggest savings. So that jump from 7 to 5 was about $400 a year to the average citizen on their fire insurance. From 5 to 4 would just be the business owners, and it's not that much for the extra money. So that's sort of how I got targeted. We probably have a good shot now, since we're we have 24/7 staffing, to get to a 4 the next time. But if there's other big investments, like if we need a bigger truck or something, it probably doesn't pay back.
Okay.
Right.
That's sort of how we target.
Yep.
And they evaluate.
An explanation.
Yes.
Exactly.
And they evaluate every 10 to 15 years.
Right.
Is what they do.
Okay. And so the next time it comes up, when we know our rating's coming up, about a year or two before, we'll do the same exercise to see, because it could change, right? The insurance company could say, now it's for citizens this month, and it's a cost benefit thing. So that's how we did it.
Okay, great.
We successfully resuscitated 2 citizens this year. One, which happened to be a day after we went to medical responder, and it was at Big Daddy, so that was a good success there. We transported 23 individuals from the Beach Strand, which was a difference of 36 last year. We also had 48 ocean rescues compared to 181 from last year. So that's a huge difference, which I think is because of 2 things. One, our lifeguards being proactive, getting down and talking to the citizens. And second, I think is luck due to good weather, excellent weather, no storms. So. Like I said, that is a huge difference, which we do not anticipate in the future, of course. We reduce our response time by 9 seconds, our average response time, which is a difference of cutting it in half the past couple years. We really do not expect to increase that response time much more because of the size of the town. We feel like we're getting there pretty quickly, safely. So efforts are going to be put more towards swift execution of services that we provide on scene.
And what is the response time?
4 minutes and 23 seconds, and that's from call to arrival. So as soon as someone calls till we get there.
That crash across the street from me, you actually beat that.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
You guys actually beat that. You're in there.
Well, I think a lot of our response time, I think our response time is pushed up due to the calls that we receive down in Fort Fisher. So it's probably a little bit lower. We take out those calls, but of course, can't do that. We work with New Hanover County EMS to improve our relationship. Did a little bit of training. Basically, we do quarterly training with them where we get together, have a meeting, discuss basically the protocols, what everybody does, so we all stay on the same page when things hit the roof. We have 3 more firefighters with EMT certification. We also have 2 right now that are taking the test this week in Kinston, so that should be 5. Our call volume has increased 16% this year, which is a difference of 33% last year. And I think that number is a little bit understated, just because of luck again, according to the averages of medical calls that we provide and the average of what New Hanover County EMS provides. So this is a little bit lower than the average, so this should be a little bit higher, like I said. We added 5 new volunteers.
Do they live on the island?
They do not, which is something that we decided we would try something new. They have all stayed. They all pull nighttime shift, and they love it. So it works well with the guys. Good teamwork. They come down every Monday night for the meetings, and they're down here 2-3 times a week to work night shifts. And they've got their own jobs as well. So it's something that we've tried out, and it works great. We played a role in the Pink Hills Breast Cancer Foundation this year through a couple fundraisers, cornhole tournaments, stuff like that. We're also going to play a little bit bigger role this year because they've changed the way that they do things. Basically, in the past, a fire department would raise money and then give it to the organization to pick a member in the community that has breast cancer, and then the groups would go together and go to the house and give the money. They've changed that to where a fire department raises the money and then they keep the money, and basically they can pick a citizen or be recommended a citizen, and then Pink Hills will come and assist, bring a fire truck, bring some flowers and stuff like that, and make it a big scene so that way it's nice for the citizen. So this year we're going to do a couple more fundraisers to help out with that. And if anybody has any suggestions of someone that does have breast cancer, then feel free to come to the fire department. Our volunteers contributed a total of 2,552 hours in 2013, which is huge. Our fire department is hugely volunteer, so that is a big number. It's also an increase of 17% from last year. We got first place in the combat mud run this year, thanks to partly David Hagler. But under the direction of Harold Hagler, we've had good momentum this year. We've got a great group of guys. Everyone's motivated. Good group of volunteers. Everybody's worked together as a team this year. It's been a great year, and I'm excited to see what happens in 2014. This right here is basically our calls. You can see how they've increased and how they've increased with fire and medical respectively. Like I said, I believe this is a little bit of an understatement just due to pure luck this year with people not having as much medical problems. But either way, you can still see the increase. And here is response time. So the first bar there is the average response time of New Hanover County EMS to get an ambulance down here. And then the second number is our last year's average response time, 4 minutes and 32 seconds. And then this year's 4 minutes and 23 seconds. So we figured that it would probably stay around 4 minutes and 20 seconds, maybe go up a little bit this year, maybe go down, just depending on where the location of our calls are. Going off of that response time a little more, 4 minutes and 23 seconds seems like a kind of a long time for Kiri Beach, but at the same time, it takes a dispatcher around a minute and a half to notify the department. So really, from the time the pager hits to our arrival, our average response time would be 2 minutes and 53 seconds, which I feel shows that response time a little bit better. Once again, here's another graph showing our response time with someone that has had a sudden cardiac arrest. Their chance of survival is much greater with the Kiri Beach Fire Department now responding as opposed to just New Hanover County EMS.
Ed?
Yes, ma'am.
Is New Hanover County doing anything to work on the time that the dispatcher gives you the call?
Not really. The only thing that they have done is they have implemented basically a Toyota Tacoma. They added another truck that will be down here during the summertime. And it's basically a beach unit which will allow the Tacoma to go to a call and not leave a transport unit tied up. So basically the Tacoma will go and check out the call if it's nothing serious, and then if it becomes something serious, then he will notify the transport unit, which will then meet down there. So basically the Tacoma will go to the basic calls, and then the transport units will continue to go to the... Yes, sir.
She was asking about the lag time from phone call to dispatch. I think that's driven by the citizens talking to the 911 operator. The reason it's a minute, average is a minute 30 is because sometimes they don't say exactly what they need.
Well, they also have a list of questions that they're going to go through before they dispatch anybody.
Right. They have a list of questions that is off of a software. Basically, this past year, they tried to implement a pre-alert system, which they would answer a series of questions and then pre-alert the fire department or medical squad to basically get ready. And then they would go switch back over to the caller and then continue to ask more questions so that way they can notify the fire department or EMS.
That number's probably not going to change.
Right.
Yeah, not much.
If anything, it would go down depending on the mental capabilities of the person that's taking the call.
Or faster software, which they may put in the future. But, yeah, I agree with that. I think that's about as fast as they're going to get for the time being. Our future goals, we would like to become a full-service EMT fire department. When we have Dennis Ebersole, which is taking his EMT right now, once he has that certification, we will be able to do that. And basically, that would allow us to respond to all medical calls in Kiri Beach as opposed to just Delta and Echo, which are breathing problems, cardiac problems, and head problems for the most part. So we recognize the importance of this because we have an older community, and a very basic situation can turn into a serious situation. So us being on scene and having fast response time could help out with future calls. So that's why we feel that this is a very important aspect that the fire department can acquire. And we have the guys, we have a good group of guys that can do that as well. One thing that we haven't really talked about in the past, which I'd like to kind of plant a seed, is we'd like to develop a live-in program. And a live-in program is basically a house or a place where volunteers can stay for free in return for their services that they provide for the fire department. So they would live in a house for free, and in return they would provide us with 10 nights a month or whatever we would decide. We would like it to be a house in Kiri Beach. I believe, Carolina Beach, you guys had a house that was donated to you, didn't you?
No, we bought it.
You bought it? Okay. Well, we would like to either rent a house or buy a house. Of course, we would like to rent one first to prove that it works. And then maybe in the future, after we have a proven system, possibly buy a house. We discussed maybe for the first couple years having the guys do fundraisers to fund this monthly. So that way they could live there for free. We have a house down on Fifth Avenue right now that someone is willing to rent to us for $750 a month. And basically, how that would work is we have a guy there that stays at the fire department now for $25 a night. So we could have that guy that stays there for $25 a night be the live-in guy. So the cost would be the same. They would just be living in Curry Beach. Be 2 to 4 live-ins. We would like to provide tuition assistance, which would help them go through school. It would be required to be in an EMT program or a fire program. Of course, they'd have to keep their grades. There'd be no alcohol or drugs allowed on the premises. But this is, like I said, this is in the far future. I just wanted to go ahead and plant the seed and maybe put it up for discussion to see what anybody else thought about it. Yes, ma'am?
When you say far future, is this like a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, or what are you thinking about?
I was thinking far future as in 2 to 4 years. Yeah.
That's not far.
And you're doing this to try to attract younger volunteers too.
Right, and not only that, we've recognized that it is harder for younger guys to live down here because of the cost, which is why we've gone to accepting volunteers off the island as long as they provide services at nighttime. So this would be a way for us to have 2 to 4 guys down in Curry Beach basically at all times while they're not at school. And also it would keep a program running where we get younger guys. And they would have to apply for it, of course. It would be attractive because they're going to be going to school as well. A lot of these guys around here, they want to be firefighters. They want to be EMTs. But, of course, the cost of training is a little bit higher as far as what they're going to do while they're going to training. This kind of takes away all those questions because they're living there while they're providing service, and at the same time, they get that extra little bit of experience with guys that are running calls at the same time. Yes, sir, Steve.
So you're paying $25 a night for one guy or two guys?
One guy. We have a full-time guy that stays at night. We also have a guy that stays for $25 a night. And the guys that are staying for $25 a night are basically the volunteers that live out of Curry Beach. And they have regular jobs as well.
But if they stay at the live-in, then you could offset that cost because that's $750 a month.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
Now, that's what they pay or what we pay?
It's what,
I mean, does the town pay for that?
It's in the part-time fire department. That's the part-time.
Right, yes, the town.
It's in their budget, that's right. That's how we get the 2 people a night.
Right.
It's required for our coverage.
So there would be a hook at the house instead of the fire department.
Right. They would live at the house, but they would come to the fire department to stay the night. So while they're on shift.
Oh, okay. Depending on whether they're at the fire department.
Right.
They're living at the house for free.
Correct.
Okay.
But basically, it would offset the cost because we're paying them $25 a night now, which is 30 days, 31 days a month, which is $750. Of course, you have to add utilities in there. And the tuition assistance, which would increase the budget a little bit. But we're looking at ways around that. First, we'd like to try out fundraising to see if we can get the guys motivated to do some spaghetti dinners and stuff like that to pay for the utilities. That would be the goal, of course, is to not increase the budget and to implement this system. Any more questions on that?
Yeah, and I think just for council, kind of history of the fire department is the fire department history long term of the town, and Andy and some of the old timers can talk about this, has been very much not cost zero, but pretty cost neutral. So the fire department participated in the first building, which is now the community center.
They built it.
That's right. They built it. The town didn't pay anything for that building. The fire department built most of the current fire department with the town putting in a little money and paying for the land. The fire department participated with the police department in building the police department as well. And then most of the trucks we have, the fire department has paid a portion of that. So as a volunteer fire department has always been, you know, we believe in paying part of it. And I think Ed's continuing that with this. You know, this is really Ed's idea that he's kind of rolling out with the chief, but he came up with this. He's still looking at the same history that the department's done about, okay, how can we do this at a low cost to the citizens and still get it paid? So it's pretty creative. I think there's a lot of issues we got to look at before we would want to do this, but it's definitely something that At least he's thinking outside the box. I don't know a lot of departments that do stuff exactly like this. And, you know, for our department, we get a lot of young guys in for a while and then feed other departments, which is good for us. So the Ocean Dunes fire showed that all the long-term relationships that our department has built with Wilmington, New Hanover County, Carolina Beach, Federal Point, pays off. Yeah, no, Dennis doesn't like that he's shaking, but...
No.
No. You just cold? No. Well, here, you can have my coat. But I think those long-term relationships, even if these kids come in, work with our department for 2 years while they're going to school and then go to another department, that pays back to us sometime. Because Ocean Dunes really demonstrated that, you know, there's going to be another fire in Caribbean Beach where we need lots of other help. And knowing those guys as individuals really paid off. So
let's see that it has been part of your budget this year. See where those numbers fall.
Okay.
Yeah, Ed.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, for the last 3 years, and I don't know if you're planning on doing this, but I would like to request that you put this in a chart similar to what Sunny does every year, with years marked off all the way up to at least 5 years. And all of your goals on there as to when you would like to accomplish them and what the cost would be. And not just thinking out of the box goals, but whether you have any equipment, needs, not just goals, but needs over the next 5 years, whether, you know, it's a fire truck or training equipment or whatever, so that we can see what years we may be looking at an increase. And I know we, you know, it would be wonderful if fundraisers could help pay for a lot of this. Sometimes I hear we're not going to do it. Sometimes I hear we are going to do it. So it'd be good to see it. So in case it doesn't happen or it comes up short, we'll know what to look for with the general fund. Could you do that for us?
Yes, ma'am.
I actually have something for you a little
good.
Later.
Good. With all of these goals and
well, not necessarily. Whatever I was provided, I guess, at that point in time. So.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Are you aware of any successful program like this?
Yeah, they actually do it all over the country. And they do it separate ways. Like, we have a volunteer with us. He's working with Navassa now. And he actually lives at the firehouse, of course. So I believe living at the firehouse is a little bit too much because you got to have a place to put your stuff. And, you know, there's a gray area of what you can do, what you can't do. So I definitely think that something off-site would be a little bit better because you can separate work from school and stuff like that. But yes, this Carolina Beach has a successful program right now that they do. They have, you guys have four guys, right?
Yeah, we've been doing it for 4 years now. Same thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, I know firehouses and cities have, you know, the guys staying there, but so unique approach. Okay.
Right. I think a big thing with this is a lot of the guys nowadays, I wouldn't say do not want to volunteer their time, but they want to see something in return. And I think as opposed to paying them $25 a night, I think basically living for free somewhere would go a lot farther. Even though basically it's going to cost the same, to them I think it would mean a lot more. And living down in Caribbean Beach is a great place to live. I've lived down here when I was younger, so... it was easy for lifeguarding. A lot of our firefighters are lifeguards, so I'm sure that they would carry on that tradition as well. So they'd be down here during the summertime as well. Something else we'd like to do is full service ocean rescue department. Basically, the only thing we do not do now is anything farther than 500 yards off the beach. The only thing that we would have to do to change that would be to get a jet ski. That is in the talking, but we're just kind of curious of how that's going to go. We do marine rescues down in the bay now. We have an ocean rescue department, which of course we've had forever. But we've also like to attain the USLA Advanced Agency certification. And the difference in the Advanced Agency versus what we've always had, which is just a basic certification, is just a level of care that we provide, which would bring us to a medical responder. Basically, we would have to provide 40 extra hours of education at the beginning of the season. So it's something that we could easily attain, and I'd like to do that this year. Any questions?
I'll volunteer to be a dead mother in the living.
You're right.
Will that help?
Does that mean we can use your house?
No, I want free rent.
There you go.
I got a nice long ruler.
I will say that we have one firefighter, Jesse Turner, who's going through school right now to be a diesel mechanic. And when he gets out, he will be qualified to inspect our ladders, all of our trucks for DOT inspection. Harold currently does basically all of the work on all of our trucks and saves the town tons of money every single year. So we're hoping that Jesse will be able to continue that as well in the future.
Has Harold or you, either one, tried to pursue getting a new fire station built?
Well, we're currently adding an addition, but as far as getting a new one built, we've talked about it, of course, but nothing serious.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it 3 years I've been here, and I'm sure long before that, and with all our other expenses, we don't even have a way to save for it right now.
It's almost 9:15.
You want a break or you want Dennis to go?
I won't be here but a minute if you want.
You want
to fill it up?
I won't be about 2 minutes.
I did want to address just a couple of things. What's on my mind about the fire department's response time being slower, that's because we have quit stopping them now on their way to fires. So that's helped y'all a little bit.
Appreciate it.
The other thing I do, I'm not trying to steal Ed's thunder, but I do want to remind the new council, that probably 75% of the EMS calls that are dispatched to us, the police are generally there first. Mm-hmm. We generally get there first. We have defibrillators in every police call. I think we've got about 7 or 8 saves. Sonny involved in one. We get a Christmas card from these people every year. It's always great when we get there to hear sirens coming, because we know fire department's coming too. And it's just been a great big help to us to have that. And as time's gone on, it's kind of evolving now more to a fire function than it has been a police function for years past. So I'm all for what you're doing over there, Ed.
Dennis? I apologize. May I ask Ed another question?
No. Yes, Emily, of course.
Fire inspections.
Just acquired my certificate 2 weeks ago.
Okay. You guys have a goal this year for when you're going to take road to?
Well, we discussed working alongside each other and be able to see how it all works with our schedules.
Do we receive money from the county for doing those inspections?
Charge $45.
Okay. Well, that money, when he takes it over the quote, Arlen, maybe you can answer this. The money from fire inspections, will it then go to the fire department or just go in the general fund?
It's just part of the general fund. Right? That's the way it is
if
now.
We've got 59 buildings in town that have to have fire inspections done on them. Not all of them are annual. Some of them are every 3 years. So let's just say 59 buildings that have to be inspected every year, that's only about $2,700.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. Just for the new council members on board and others that may not know, just a real brief history of our PD. It was established in 1947. They had their first police chief, Mr. Glover, and our first part-time police officer is Counselor Andrew Canutis. The first police car was a 1936 four-door, had a blinking red light and a wind-up siren. I think that was Andy's job. He was the winder. The first police department was in the actual closet of the ABC store, which was on K Avenue. So that was back when times were good. Built the town, or the old community, what is now the community center. and the police department was located in there, and it was I think the police department now is a closet. 7 feet wide, about 12 feet long. It's now where the tables are stored in the community center. That was the police department. We built the town hall. We moved there. The police department was actually disbanded one time, I think in 1977, and was the town contracted the sheriff's office to provide police protection. That lasted a couple of years.
That was a mistake.
And then the police department was reformed in 79. And with five police officers. Town Hall was built in 91. We moved there. The police department that we're in then is now what is John Batson's office. That was the entire PD. In 01, we were looking for more space. Didn't have a means to build anything. A contractor by the name of Ernest Batson showed up one day and started digging footers. And with the help of a lot of people, Sonny's people, Harold's people, just from people all over the community. We built a new police department. I think the town had just not much in it. I think Harold pulled the wire and Sonny did a lot of stuff, and just it was crazy how it all came together. And that's the police department that we're in now. And as we sit today, we are currently working with an architect, Ed Knott. Well, he's going to do a little bit of expansion on the fire department. I'm going to do some expansion on my building as well. We're going to add, I don't know, probably 600 or 800 square feet. Our evidence room that we have now, if you go in, you got to walk in and back out because there's not enough room to actually turn around. So it's that jammed up. And the laws of evidence and how long we have to keep stuff now is insane. We have evidence from the 90s still that we have to keep. So we're having to build a bigger place for that. We are slotted for 11 full-time personnel, including me. We're running with two detectives, and the rest of the guys are patrol staff. We're busy, even off-season, we're busy due to the, socioeconomic climate of our town. We are frequently targeted for financial fraud schemes, those types of activities. Those investigations are extremely intensive. They take a long time. There's just a lot involved. Some of them have lasted as long as 6-8 months to finally get to the root of it. But apparently people know that elderly people live here, older population that may have a little bit of money, and they target these people. So we do our best to keep that from happening. We spend a lot of time and effort on intelligence, so when we have things happen in Curie Beach or certain things come up, we have new construction in progress, we actively gain intelligence on who's there, who's working, who's what their past is, what their criminal background is, and so we spend a lot of time and energy trying to keep up with who's here, what they're doing, and how long they're going to be here, and that type of thing. And it kind of prevents a lot of things from happening. There's no way I can tell you what we have prevented. I feel very good that we've prevented a lot more than we realize, even just by keeping up with what's going on. The biggest thing that I think I face every year, every summer, is trying to meet public expectation of what police should be doing and what we should be preventing. That changes almost seasonally. Sometimes it changes daily. We have issues with the beachfront as far as dogs, trash, other activities, alcohol, that kind of thing. We do our best to police that the best we can. We have other issues with activities, particularly on the weekends. Obviously, the oceanfront park and the activities that happened there this past summer has an impact on us as far as traffic and trying to keep that moving. If you were here this summer on some of the weekends, you know that there's no way we could really have gotten from the north side of town to the south side of town quick at all. So we end up basically putting police officers on either end of town just to reduce response time if we do have an event. Try to leave a couple in the middle. Please bear in mind, police works 24/7. It's not a 8-to-5, 9-to-5. We're here all the time, holidays included. We have tremendous liaison liaisons with the federal agencies, primarily U.S. Secret Service, secondly, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Farms, and thirdly, the Federal Bureau of Investigations. So we work with all three of those agencies on a fairly regular basis, doing some pretty cool things. I don't have a big chart of stats. If anyone's interested in numbers fluctuating up and down, our RMS database keeps up with all that. If you're interested in diving into that, come by and see me, and I'll look up anything you'd like me to look up. Our budget is pretty lean. We, I think Arlen can cover this later, but we don't have a lot of fat in our budget, or any at all, really. We try to keep it as tight as possible. The big factors are gas prices. That's one thing that goes up and down I can't control. When the gas prices got high, we doubled up to try to save a little bit, and it worked out. Our gas prices are down now, so I think we're going to probably come in well under budget this year for gas. Personnel-wise, right this minute, I'm still too short. Had one officer leave back in the summer to go with the Sheriff's Department, and I've just had a command staff officer, looks like he's going to be going out on the medical. So I just lost, if you want to call it this, my second in charge or my best investigator, I just lost. So I'm kind of doing double duty right now until we regain that position.
So you're picking up his slack on their investigating?
I have to.
As we are in trouble.
Yep. Yeah, it's been a while, but I still remember how. But I guess generally at these retreats, the way it's gone in years past, people have a lot of questions, and so I'll field anything you might have.
Did we think of any type of volunteer program? I mean, like we have for the fire department. Is there? I'm not talking. I don't know. Community watch or any of that stuff that we should do so we can take some of the pressure off the police department.
There's as far as a. Let me address both. Community watch. We've tried that a time or two in years past. And generally speaking, community watch meetings aren't successful unless there is a significant problem present. So if there was a significant problem, say, in a neighborhood that was becoming an issue, then community groups will come together and voice and try to work. But if there's no problem pre-existing, it's not been very successful.
I was going to say thank you.
Along this the same line before you get to his other question, we used to get emails like from Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I know one time we had a lot of break-ins in cars. Yep. In the Cary Beach Village area. Uh-huh. And we would all get emails. We haven't gotten those for a couple of years.
And you're probably not going to get them. That was a great idea that became a nightmare. We thought it'd be a good thing, and it was initially, and then it got spun, and it's. I think what we're going to look to is the web for that information. And Ed Kennedy, or not Ed, but Ryan Kennedy, Ed's brother, is actively working on that. So,
Dennis, are you taking an active position in communicating with different individuals within the districts of the town that have expressed an interest in helping the police in one way or another, and if there's a problem in that area, getting back with them and saying, look, be on the lookout for something like this?
Now, Charlie, I think we do that pretty much daily. Anybody that has an issue, yes. But as far as anything formalized, no, sure.
Well, when you say when anybody has an issue, I'm taking it that you're looking at it from the standpoint of the individual that's having a problem. And I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to an individual within the community that says, hey, look, I want to be of assistance to you. And without making it a formal thing, if you're aware of a problem within a given district, to go to that individual and say, hey, we've got this problem, how's about keeping your eyes open?
We do that a lot, Charles.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Good enough.
We do that a lot. Absolutely. We have to.
Because I'm sure you have a lot of individuals within the community that would be more than willing to be an extra set of eyes.
We do that. We've actually used other people's homes. They've allowed us to use their homes to sit and watch. I mean, yes, that's on a case by case. That's a normal thing. Yeah, normal thing. And also, as most people are aware, people that go out of town for any period of time, a week or two, most people now are in the habit of letting us know. You can go online, fill out the form, let us know. That's worked pretty well, and we try our best to make sure your place is okay. And if it's going to get broken into, we want to know it before you find out. I hate to say it that way, but that's just reality. We try our best. So.
That brings up Craig's other question about auxiliary or...
Oh, volunteers. I'm sorry. Thank you. As far as volunteers, very, very difficult to do volunteer type thing just because of the nature of law enforcement and the liability that goes with that. I do employ part-time guys, but they have to be fully sworn, fully trained, meet all the standards that I have to meet, just like everybody else. But we use those a lot. We're budgeted for those guys, and honestly, we couldn't do without them. We would really be in a bind if we didn't have them. We have Ed Palmateer, who's a full-time, part-time guy, I guess you could say. And then we have Richard Price, Eric Earnhardt, Greg Barr, that work with us part-time. They've been with me for years. So.
The second question I have is, I hope it's not inappropriate, but do we have any registered sex offenders in town?
Yes.
Are there...
Andy.
I mean, is it 5, 10, 1? Or is that not our...
One that I can verify right this minute. I've had as many as 3. Right now, 1.
And when you say... I've had it on the web.
There's only a couple on the beach.
What's that?
There's only a couple between Carolina and Creek.
When I referred to intelligence a minute ago, we have invested in a couple of subscriptions where we're notified not only of sex offenders but of other offenders who may be federal drug offenders, things of that nature. If they track an address anywhere near us, I'm notified. So there's other intelligence things that we look at to find out who's here. Without disclosing all that, we do pretty good at keeping up with who comes and goes, for the most part.
That puts extra pressure on the police.
Well,
keep the tabs on that.
It does a little bit, but when you kind of go by and just say hi, I know you're here, then they know we know, and so it's that's. But anybody can see that. The North Carolina Sex Offender Registry is on the web. Anybody can look at that. It's open to the public. Overall, I think we do okay. I think we do a pretty good job for the town and try to stay within our bounds. And if y'all have read all the media over the last 2 or 3 years, I mean, I think we fly low and keep our town clean and stay out of the way.
My experience with the department is... always been great. Thank you.
Anything else?
Do you all want to take the break?
I would appreciate it.
Yeah, let's do a break. Sounds good.
You need a break?
I got to really
Last year, I think I took like an hour and a half. That's the reason they put me last today. I'm going to make it very brief. My guys are down working downtown. I'm going to get out there with them. Feel kind of bad sitting in a nice warm place like this and they're out working there. But anyway, just to give you a breakdown on a few numbers is what I'm just going to throw out a couple of numbers. Garbage ton-wise, we were up a little bit. Garbage, we collected over 1,400 tons. Recycling this year, 2012-13, was about 403 tons. That's up approximately 140 tons from the year before. And so the big garbage cans, I think, are doing what we hope they would do. Somebody hope they would do.
So regular garbage is up and recycling's up?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Just a touch on the regular garbage is pretty stable. It's just a few tons here. Yes, sir.
Have we ever looked at
contract number? No, we've only looked at it since I've been here probably 40 times, maybe 30 times. It's about every other 3-year deal.
Yeah.
To answer your question, yes, sir. We've looked at it quite a few times. And price is pretty close to what we can, you know, what we've found is the numbers are about the same. It's not much difference. We can do it probably about the same price that they can. And what we looked at is if we did get out of it, there was some changes, expenses go up on the other side, then getting back into it like the city of Wilmington
right.
would cost quite a bit to get back into it. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. But that was a good question, Steve.
Can I
have answered to that one. Sir?
Just so this question never comes up again to newbies, all right? When you have a workforce that's doing a good job, that I know it, that you can trust, and that your payment for this is coming out of taxes so that the individual homeowner isn't paying.
I understand all that. Okay. I'm just asking a question. His guys probably, you know, would be more than happy not to pick up garbage on Monday.
They certainly would. That's exactly right. And I thank you for the question, Steve. And